It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski will visit with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Underwriting for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there is much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. I am pleased to welcome to the December 2013 edition of our show, Rod Barr and Kevin Barman. Rod serves as the Department Chair of Agricultural Sciences here at Northwest Missouri State University, and Kevin is a farmer in Nottoway County. They'll be discussing, you guessed it, issues in agriculture. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin this month's program, I welcome Rod Barr. Rod has several degrees from Northwest Missouri State University. We're certainly proud of that. The undergraduate degree, the master's in ag education, and a specialist in educational leadership. Rod served 16 years as a high school ag educator at the Northwest Technical School. And then he came to Northwest Missouri State University, having served us so far for 11 years. Most recently, though, he's taken on the department chair role in the Department of Agricultural Sciences. Rod, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Dr. J.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great to have you here. You and I get a chance off of the microphone level to talk about agricultural sciences and all the excellent things happening in the department. We talk about ag in general and its importance to not just the local and regional economy, but the national and the international economies as well. So we'll talk about a few of those issues, but let's start level the playing field for our listeners. We say the Department of Agricultural Sciences. For our listeners, they might say, what's that really mean? So kind of describe the department for our listeners.
You bet. We've got several different programs for different types of students and what they're looking for. Our largest majors are ag business major. We have about 200 ag business majors. Second to that would be our animal sciences group. We call that animal sciences and animal science pre-vet. We kind of lump those two together. A lot of the classes go back and forth we see kids that may start out in pre-vet may end up in animal science. The third largest major would be our ag sciences major. That is really a general agriculture major. We may talk about that a little bit later on, what that means. And then we have ag education and agronomy and our horticulture major. So we've got a broad grouping of majors for our students to choose from, and I think that sets us apart, and that's one of the things that our students like, and actually our employers are looking for, as students with a general agriculture background.
So, Rod, you talk about several degree programs, and, you know, I think that as you look at the history of Northwest Missouri State University, it has been certainly at the center of the agricultural sciences program. But as we talk about these degree programs, so if I major in ag business, or if I go to get that general program, or if I go into animal science and pre-vet and all, what kinds of fields might I be looking at as a student?
Really anything from sales to consulting to management in a lot of different companies. We sit in one of the unique situation here in Northwest Missouri. We sit in the northern edge of the animal science corridor, centered really out of Kansas City. A lot of the international presence of animal sciences industry sits in a 100-mile radius of Kansas City. So our students have opportunities there. The fastest growing field right now is agronomy and the plant sciences. We've got to figure out a way to feed 9 billion people where the population's headed. And it's really going to start with the plant sciences. And we see great job opportunities for our students in agronomy, whether it be if they're an ag business major, possibly minoring in agronomy, or an agronomy major minoring in ag business. It really doesn't make any difference which way they go. One of the unique things about our programs is when you look at the coursework that our students take, it it crosses the curriculum in within our department. And so our students have a very good general background in agriculture. And that's one of the things when we talk to our potential employers and our stakeholders, that's one of the things that they like about our students. Our animal science students have a background in ag business. They have a background in agronomy. Our ag business students have that background in agronomy as well, or the animal science, so they can cross over. And I think that that has been very beneficial for our students. I think it's been very beneficial for our program and makes us somewhat unique that we didn't specialize. And that allows our students to be very flexible in taking internships. I know, for example, I have ag education students. One of the recommendations that I have for my ag ed students is to go out and get an industry internship, just to find out what the industry is like.
Well, Rod, I've talked to a lot of employers as well, and that's the same thing I've heard is that, hey, look, we can create specialists, but give them that breadth and that depth, get them ready, and then we can train them to our company. So, you know, I think about, as I talk to some of our listeners and some of the general public, and they talk to me and they say, well, how do you keep current? How do you get your students ready to go? Not just in the employment market to be good citizens. That's one of the ways, and that is to create that depth and breadth across these fields. So you've got these programs, certainly a lot going on across the disciplines, but talk about the enrollment within agricultural sciences. And you said that some of these programs set us apart. Talk a little bit more about that as well.
Well, right now we're at an all-time high for enrollment. We have 543 students total. 534 of those are undergraduate students. That puts us as the second largest agricultural enrollment in the state, and we're very proud of that. We think that that's very reflective about what's going on in our program. One of the things that we really focus on in the Department of Agricultural Sciences, and it's a challenge for us, is giving our students experiential learning opportunities, the hands-on opportunities that set that help give a relevance to what we're teaching in the classroom, whether that be through the use of the RT Wright Farm and livestock and crop enterprises out there, or whether it's in the small fruits orchard or the greenhouses or the aquaculture lab or the ag mechanics lab or the trading room. We're really trying to focus in on experiential learning opportunities, and that's one of the key things that helps make us successful, is it gives students the relevance. And I think that that's the big thing that kids are looking for, is they're looking for relevance, and how can they be prepared to move into the industry and hit the ground running.
Listeners, thank you for listening to KXCVKRNW. You're listening to All Things Northwest. I'm John Jasinski, your host. I'm talking with Rod Barr, the Department Chair of Agricultural Sciences at Northwest Missouri State University. I'm chuckling because Rod just ticked off several experiential learning experiences that get our students, to get them to be hooked in and hands-on and relevant. And Rod, you went through several, so mm-hmm. The RT Wright Farm and the orchard. Talk about some of those experiences.
You bet. Well, we're really excited. We've been at the opportunity to improve the facilities out at the RT Wright Farm, just part of the overall plan of where we're going out there. One of the things, we've got a new 9,000 square foot beef production facility that is just getting finished up. Actually, should be finished up here very soon. We're very excited about that. It is a huge improvement over what we had. We've got an outstanding beef herd, and now it's going to give the students even more opportunities to be involved with that beef herd and making management, helping make the management decisions. We just completed our sheep facility. We've never really had a sheep production facility or a small ruminant facility that where students could really have a top-notch state-of-the-art facility, and we did it. And when we did that, I think we did it right. And it's going to give there's a lot of excitement there. And then on the side, you know, we don't want to leave the agronomy side out. We're really focusing in on our precision ag program. We don't have a major in precision ag. We do have a minor in precision ag. And that's one of the things that we've really tried to figure out. Okay, where's precision ag going, and how do we need to prepare our students? We've purchased some equipment. We have a new precision ag cart that will be being delivered here in the next week. We're really excited about that. It's got full auto guidance capabilities. It's going to have an auto shutoff sprayer, and kids will be able to utilize that and learn on that piece of equipment, and those skills transfer over to the tractors and the combines and the planters. And again, real life hands-on experience getting them ready for the industry.
And what about the, you know, you say orchard, and some of our listeners may not even have a scope of the farm. So talk about the size of the farm. Talk about what we do within the orchard.
Well, at the farm, we have 450 acres right at the farm, and that is a combination of row crop and pasture for our beef animals. We have a dairy out there as well. Our small fruits orchard, it's really, we've taken a lot of the fruit trees out of the orchard, and we've replaced those with grapes, we've got berries, those types of things. A little bit more of where we've seen the industry go here in Northwest Missouri, especially with vineyards, taking a look at how to grow grapes and hopefully provide some assistance to people that know to, or that are looking to go into a small production type of farming. And we're really focused in on some of those things to help. And that's really one of our goals, is to develop partnerships and be a point of education for our region. And that's one of the things that we're focusing on and really building partnerships.
Yeah, I really love to hear that, Rod, because you think about the role of Northwest Missouri State University, and it's not just to say, well, we're helping students out. And, you know, our mission is to focus on student success, every student, every day. But it's also to connect with our region, and it's about regional vitality, economic development. And so you're doing it in the classroom and certainly outside the classroom to connect with our students.
Yeah, and one of the things when I took over as interim chair and now as chair, we took a look at what do we want to do as a faculty and as a department, and everything that came up came back to partnerships and building partnerships with the community, building partnerships with industry, building partnerships across campus. It doesn't make any difference. We can't set out here on our own and be successful, and we want to build those partnerships, and that's really what we're striving to do. One of the things that one of the projects that we worked on last year was the More Beef Project, looking at what is the definition of local food, specifically in the beef industry. And that report is being finished up. We're excited to share that and let people know what is going on with local foods. That's kind of a catch term that's running rampant, but what does that mean? And hopefully we've got a definition that can help not only producers so they understand what local food is, but consumers as well. And those types of things, that's what we're trying to focus in on and help the region as well as our students. It gives our students the opportunities, again, just a different type of experiential learning opportunity.
It's funny, too, because we talk regional partnerships. I was just recently in Japan at Niigata University, which is a partner university of Northwest Missouri State. And I know that we've sent at least one of your faculty mm-hmm. members and some students over there. And as I was talking to the president of Niigata University, it was pretty evident to me that the regions are very similar. The universities are quite similar. And the opportunities for, shall I say, cross-pollination and mm-hmm. some sharing are pretty evident. So not just across those two universities, but really I was talking to some potential partners in Russia and Canada. And still at the core, it came down to, let's talk about ag.
Exactly. And ag is so important. It goes back to how do we feed 9 billion people? There's going to be 9 billion people on this planet, and we've got to figure out a way to feed those people. And it's important. Agriculture is such an international business that hopefully we can build those partnerships. One of the things that we've got on the books is we have an international travel class that we offer as it comes up, generally every 2 to 3 years, and take a look at various locations to travel to. And, you know, we've been to Brazil, Puerto Rico, and England, Ireland, and let our students see that agriculture is more than just Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas.
Rod, we've celebrated ag is part of the history at Northwest. It's a huge part of our future. And I know you coming in as department chair, and for our listeners, department chairs in the academic field, leaders of their departments, obviously. And, Rod, you've taken it upon yourself to say, let's go, let's move forward. So, and you've got an awesome faculty. I know your faculty, your students, and they're just tremendous, tremendous people, forward-looking. And you've talked very vividly with likes of myself, our chief academic officer, Doug Dunham, and so many others about the future. Talk about some of those plans that we have.
Like I said, we've taken a look at the master plan and of where do we want to head as a department. And one of the things that we have identified as a need is a facility, academic space facility at the farm. We really think that will take us to the next level, and we've been in the planning efforts of that, and hopefully we'll be moving forward in that. And when we talk about an academic building, having classroom space, laboratory space, exposition space out on the farm so that we can connect those students and give those students the hands-on opportunities. For example, right now if we wanted to utilize a combine with precision ag equipment, we do it outside. Not the best learning environment, especially on a day like today with the weather the way it is. But if we had a place where we could pull in combine, allow the students to work on that and see what can happen, and so that they understand. That's one of the keys that we're looking at, not only for us, but how can we assist industry and provide technical assistance and technical training for them. How can we connect to the community and meet community needs, whether it be for livestock shows or for various training activities for youth and FFA and 4-H? We really think that that is one of the areas that we can improve upon, and that's what we're looking to do in the near future.
What I really enjoy is that you guys continually talk about students and the impact on students for current curriculum and what we do inside and outside the classroom, but also these future plans. But you expand it to partnerships, and it's partnerships with industry, it's partnerships with our local and regional farming communities, and well beyond that, by the way. So I congratulate you for that. Talk a little bit, if you would, about our alumni, because with that long, long history of ag at Northwest Missouri State University, 108 years old, we've got so many good stories, but talk about them coming to you, helping you guide the department.
I think it's very important that we keep the alumni involved. As an alum of Northwest, it's a passion for me to get our alumni involved in our department. Starting in the spring, we're going to create four advisory committees for our department, one in agribusiness program, one for our ag education program, one for agronomy, and one for animal science. And we're going to be looking for alums to help serve on that, not only alumni, but those are people that have a deep passion for Northwest. We know that Bearcats are a passionate group, and we want to utilize and take advantage of those people that are willing to step up and help us and visit with us and make suggestions about where our programs can go and what our students need. We've got some tremendous alumni out working in the industry, and they can help guide the future of our department, and that's really something that we want to focus in on.
Well, there's no question, Rod, that as an alumnus yourself with those various degrees, you've done great work, your faculty have, your students continue to do so. You'll connect up with those alumni and so many others. Thank you for being part of All Things Northwest.
Well, thanks for having us.
When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Nottoway County farmer Kevin Barman. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEV KRNW.
Northwest Missouri State University offers many foreign exchange programs to students. MBA major Heiji Doe decided to attend Northwest following her sister's recommendation.
My sister was here as an exchange student like 7 years ago, and there are a few international students in Northwest compared to other universities, so I thought it would be great to not only learn language but also culture here.
Doe is a graduate student from South Korea.
Support for All Things Northwest is provided in part by the Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments, which offers programming, products, and services to its member governments in Atchison, Holt, Gentry, Nottoway, and Worth counties. More at nwmorcog.org.
Welcome back to the December 2013 edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. KXCBKRNW is so excited to welcome Kevin Barman. Kevin and his wife, Donna, farm over 2,800 acres here in southern Nottoway County. Recognized as one of the top row crop farmers in North Missouri, Kevin is active in the Nottoway Young Farmers and has served on the Consumers Oil Company Board of Directors since 1996. Kevin and Donna are also very active within their church at St. Gregory's, and the Barmans grow food-grade white corn and seed beans for Monsanto and Pioneer. Kevin, welcome to our program.
Thank you, John.
Well, let's talk about your very, very diverse farming operation. Before we went on the air, you were kind of describing the various elements, and I know right in front of us you've got some papers talking about your operation. Kind of give us an overview of what Kevin Barman does.
It's been a good harvest, long and drawn out, though. The corn does not dry down for us very well, but the yields are better than we expected. With the food-grade corn, it's a longer season corn. It's 116, 115-day corn in relative maturity. With the cool summer we had, that slows down our GDUs for the growing degree units. But we're very pleased with our yields this year. Our yields on our farm, we're going to have, I was just kind of penciling, we're going to have over, not quite 500 acres, but over 400 acres of over 200 bushel per acre.
Wow.
So we've made a lot of strides in a lot of detail, and it's a lot of management to get it to what we're doing. So plus a lot of help from somebody else.
So corn is the focus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's white corn as opposed to, say, yellow corn.
Correct. It's a food-grade white corn. We hauled into Atchison last week, Atchison, Kansas. It was kind of a short-notice deal. We were needing some room to get rid of some corn, and they had a train coming in, and it was going to Mexico. And that's where most of our corn goes, and it goes into Mexico for the tacos, the burrito shells. Mm-hmm. They want the white color in their for their ethnic foods, and that's kind of our little niche market that we've gotten involved with.
So how do you've created those contracts with Mexico, is that accurate?
No, we trade with a local grain dealer in St. Joe or Atchison. Uh-huh.
Okay, so when you go to that local dealer, I mean, this is a long-term relationship?
I've grown white corn off and on probably for 15 years, but the last, it's 100% white this year. Usually we've been growing a little bit of yellow to kind of help free up some bin space. White, you're under the merchandiser's call that if he needs corn, you got to get it there. And if he doesn't need corn and your bins are full, you're kind of just out of luck.
Okay. And you said it was a little bit of a longer growing season, a little cooler there in the summertime.
Yes, the season was. And the corn, the white corn is a longer, slower maturing, longer season corn. It takes more heat units and a longer season to grow, to finish out.
A little bit more risky or not?
A little bit. We've had to, you're always constantly looking for new hybrids. So, you know, if you've got hill ground that's marginal and bottom ground that's really good, you know, we're trying to push the right hybrid on the right acre. That's kind of what we're trying to push.
And how many employees do you have, Kevin?
I have one full-time employee, young man, and then, of course, my father, who will be 80 in January. Then I have three part-time employees.
Okay.
And I can't forget Donna. She's, yeah.
No,
Donna. The guys call her, she's Meals on Wheels or the lunch lady, whatever she prefers.
Bless her. She plays a critical role. There's no doubt about it. So you're referencing, you know, trying to make sure you use the land appropriately and try different things. How do you stay current within the farming operation? Because so many changes in your industry. I know you've been doing this for, what, over 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Over 30. Probably close. I think I started when I was 14, probably a freshman in FFA. We had a few calves and rented a couple acres, you know, little two-acre plots. And that's how we kind of got started.
Wow.
You know, and I've grown to what we have now.
Yeah, so let's talk first about what changes you've seen in the industry and then how you keep current within the industry.
Okay,
so what changes?
Oh, the changes are just dramatic. You know, before everything was mechanical. You know, we had I'm just like everybody. I didn't start out on horses like my dad, but, you know, we had little four-row equipment, you know, where you were 10 feet wide. You know, the little tractors that didn't have duals, didn't have cabs. If you had a radio, you were really lucky.
Mm-hmm. AM radio.
AM radio, yeah. We could get WHB out of Kansas City or 680 out of St. Joe. Compare that to now, to where we're I run four rigs that are auto steer, where we run off GPS, where we put a line through the field and they will repeat that line every time. I run a combine, a sprayer, and my two planter tractors are all GPS steering compatible. Our sprayer and our planters are all swath controlled, so whenever we go around, go make a pass through the field, if we come back and we cross this at an angle or a perpendicular, whichever, our planter shut off, our sprayer shuts off. So we're trying to be, with seed and chemicals, trying to be environmentally friendly. I know that's a green word, but no, we sure. really do, because it's money to us.
Right, right.
The other thing we're doing right now, too, and we work with the local agronomy department at the co-op, and we're doing precision placement on our population. Our population, we're changing it as it goes through the field. We have zones in our fields. And this was our first year we've done every single field of corn had a pop, had a recommendation. And so when we started, I didn't know what we were doing. So we've had to grow through this. But Winfield, which is a Land O'Lakes company, has a R7 program, which we subscribe to. There was a fee involved. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to get the, like I just said earlier, the right seed on the right acre. We do plant nutrition, crop protection, the soil types, the genetics, and then, of course, of our past yield history from our maps that our combines have made. We've been doing precision work for about 15 years.
So those are all programmed in, and you know exactly what's going in.
When we pull into the field, all we got to do is if it's programmed right, we punch it into our computers because the GPS is going to pick it up that we're in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little green check mark comes on, and we just go.
Have you ever not programmed it correctly?
There you go. Yeah.
And what happens then?
Oh, you just old school. You still can plant corn. They will plant, but it's not going to be changing automatically, go through the field. And it's really disappointing not only to me, but the young men that we're working with, too, because they spend a lot of time and a lot of effort to do this. And if it's not working, you know, they're wanting to shut down. And to me, it's just like, no, we can plant corn, guys. Let's you know, it's dollars and cents, but we're trying just to maximize and put the most amount of money in to get the most back.
You bet. And so back in the day, it took you how long to, say, plant your fields, and how has that changed today?
Oh, yeah, our like I said, the 10-foot planter at 5 mile an hour, you know, you might be able to plant 50, 60 acres a day. We're planting 25 acres an hour.
Wow.
And I run two 40-foot rigs. So we're planting anywhere from 40 to 50 acres an hour is what we're planting.
Okay.
On a good day. Of course, that doesn't include row time. Stopping to fill, sure. which is another thing. Back in the day with the 10-foot planters, you know, the pickup pulled up. You had bags of seed corn or bags of beans on the back of the pickup. Now it's all, we use forklifts. We drop it in our seed tender. The seed tender comes by the field, swing out the auger, back up to it, dump it into big hoppers, shut the lid, gone. You know, 15, 20 minutes, we're loaded and out there.
A lot of changes. Technology has certainly been at the forefront of those changes. How do you stay current with the technology and those changes?
We go to some seminars. I rely a lot on the people that I work with, the suppliers. You know, they have learning programs. They have programs where I guess how you learn is, too, is you have to, if you're writing the check, this is how I always say it, if you're writing the check, you pay a lot more attention. So you got to prove to me that what you're selling me is going to make me money. So we stay current on that. I read a lot. I have to, you know, stay current on some of the newer products that are out there. Some of the newer technology coming down the line is, I just don't know. It will advance. How? I don't know. It's just more of it.
You know, Kevin, we've talked about all of the industry changes, and you're having to learn those industry changes and teach. And, you know, so part of your role is being a teacher in education. But you've hired many Northwest students to provide hands-on experience while our students are in school. Talk about that interplay and what students experience when they come to you.
That's true. We've had many. I've lost track of how many students I've employed over the years. And I do say employ because, one, if they're coming to the farm to work, they want the money because they want to better themselves. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going to school. And I always said, the young men that are coming, well, I mean, of course, when you have young men, well, then you have young ladies sometimes too. You know, it's kind of a, sometimes it's a two-part deal. But, and that makes it great. But these young men, you know, I don't know how some of them can hold their gray point. You know, they're working, you know, the ones that are working for me right now on a, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, they're getting 40, 50 hours. And then they go to school.
Right.
So you have to applaud them. You have to be proud of them because they're wanting, you know, they're here at Northwest Missouri. They've left home. They're wanting to do something to make their life better. But, and it shows more to me when they come out to the farm because it's very obvious on, you can tell the ones that are going to be very successful in life. You can just tell. I was telling Don on the way in here, even in just the Maryville area, how many alumni that I deal with. You know, I've got crop insurance, agronomy, seed sales, the manager at the co-op, the manager at the MFA. All these people are Northwest alumni. Their roots have been here, and banking, crop insurance. I can keep going on,
sure.
And I apologize whoever I'm missing. There's another one that works in the grain procurement, grain marketing department for one of the big conglomerate ag giants. So we work with these young men and watch them grow, and it's really kind of fun.
What's incredible about that is, you know, brings a smile to my face because you're working with Northwest Missouri State University alumni. They're providing value, you're providing value. And as you bring in students, you know, we hear sometimes, well, the work ethic of current students. Well, not in your case. It's pretty obvious putting 40 and 50 hours in over a three-day weekend or something, and maintaining that GPA is very important. But we appreciate your work with our alumni. Well, listeners, you're listening to KXCV KRNW and All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski, talking today to Kevin Barman. He farms here in southern Nottoway County, 2,800 acres. And, Kevin, you know, at the university we talk about lifelong learning and the importance of all of us, not just students, but all of us learning throughout. And obviously in your business, in the farming industry, you're talking about you got to stay on top of the technology and so many other changes, the business side of the environment. So as you think about technology and some of those industry changes, what do you see in the industry right now? Where is the industry at, and where might it need to head in the future?
Right now we're on our third stage of where, from where we started in the technology world. Probably the next stage that we're going to start to see in technology will be more some of the seed, the potential that's in each seed, corn seed, bean seed. There's potential there for greater yields. We took a tour to Monsanto this summer, the company headquarters in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
That was really exciting because they were telling us when we spray a chemical on our seed over our crops to kill the weeds, there's proteins in, I know, it gets difficult,
wow.
But anyway, they're changing the protein in the chemical that we're actually spraying so it will kill the weed and not the plant, the corn
Very
or the bean.
Interesting.
And that's what I think. So I had to sit there for a minute and it's like, wow, it'll be the expense. I don't know. They can't even tell us a dollar amount yet. But it'll have to be reasonable.
Could be a game changer, though. I mean, it's interesting.
Exactly. From the technology side, we're seeing just like remember older computers, you know, the big box, even your laptops, and now we go with our little iPads. You know, so our units are getting more sophisticated all the time. If I have a new person in one of our combines, it's like, okay, here's how you punch this in. He goes, no, I'm not punching any buttons. I'm turning the steering wheel up and down, turn around, come back. And I said, yeah, but you got to play with the buttons. So, you know, it's just part of the learning curve. Not only do I have to know it, but I have to try to teach it and remember it. And that's, you know, I have my moments.
Of course, we all do. Well, now you talk about a third phase of technology. What were the first two? I want to make
first
sure.
First two, when we started out, our first yield monitors. I guess the first thing we started on was grid sampling our soils. Our farms were divided up into 3-acre blocks with the GPS map. And then we got a base of where our fertilizer programs were. When we first started, we were pushing our marginal soils up to try to be with the top producing soils that we had so we could make everything level. But we've changed over time, we've changed to the use of our yield monitors, which a yield monitor is actually a combine recording data as we go through the field of yield, moisture, and different sections whenever you pass over it. It's every 3 seconds, I think, it's recorded. Now we are changing our plan, and we are pushing, trying to still maintain the more marginal areas in the field, but we're pushing the more productive areas of our fields, which historically we can see it on our maps. You know, we're, there's always a good spot in the field, always. And if it's historically always there, let's push that one. Let's maybe take a rob a little bit from the marginal, and let's push the more productive. And that's what we did with our seed production or our seed population. Instead of, you know, some of them were backing down to 28,000 instead of planting the whole field to 32.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the fields going to 34, 35,000. But our average when we get done is 32.5. So my dollars per farm isn't changing very much, but my return we're hoping will increase greatly. That's what we're trying to do.
So no question, your focus on efficiency over the years, your focus on technology has elevated, but also the use of metrics. I mean, you're just kind of referencing, and I see in front of you the papers, you map and chart a lot of different measures of efficiency and production and productivity. But listeners, Kevin also referenced his iPad. He's got an iPad here sitting on the table, and so could a person like me just kind of show up and could you teach me how to get into that combine and punch in and do what I got to do?
Yeah.
It's a dangerous question, listeners. I know that.
Yeah, but, if you want to run, yeah, it depends. Do I want to let you loose on a $500,000 piece of machinery?
No, believe me, you don't want to.
It is. It's not. It is difficult, but it's not rocket science. You can you can drive a car. You can run one of our machines. You know, we run a 30. We've got our bean heads. One's a 25 foot. The other one's 35 foot. When we started, we were running 10s and 12s, so now we're taking three times the swath.
Wow, it's incredible. Well, I would welcome that opportunity at some point, not necessarily to drive the machine, but to come out and see what you're doing, because there's no question in my mind that as we look around the world, the importance of your profession to the world's vitality and sustainability. It's pretty obvious, but I don't think some people think about that. And you cut across what we talk about in academics, multidisciplinary. I mean, you're hitting business and economics and technology and computers and ag. I mean, you hit five or six disciplines here at the university. It's amazing what you do. So Kevin, as you think about the future of your operation, you know, what's out there for you?
Well, with the food grade white, I think there's going to be China announced. I think they're going to go away from their one child only.
Mm-hmm.
They're going away from that. So, can you imagine if we double the population? Will quadruple? Was it? Let's see. I can't remember what the numbers were, but it's like a 12 years period their population, but it's to produce to have more people to be in producing for the older generations is what they're coming up with. That's good for ag because those people are going to eat. And I'm kind of selfish, you know. The more the world wants to eat, the U.S. farmer will produce it.
That's right.
And there's not a lot. There's more places in the world that can produce food, but not corn and beans. It will be small grain cereals, wheats, barleys, and that sort of food. But the corn and the beans are really important for food, and human food, but in animal protein also. Because Japan, I mentioned it earlier, we exported corn through a broker to Kobe, Japan. We had to haul it into Kansas City. It went into a container. Our trucks, I mean, we had to pass inspection. I had two Japanese groups come to our farm. They went to every field. We had to check for, they had weeds on cards, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you were, you got back from Japan, the language barrier gets a little tough at times, mm-hmm. you know, because they're trying to tell you things and so you go to the interpreter, but we had cards, so we had to go try to find these weeds, and no, they did. We don't have these weeds. So whenever we went into Kansas City, then the container went to California on a ship to Japan. With the economics and the logistics of it, it wasn't working out. And then when the crisis in the economic crisis in 08 kind of took it away from us. But the Mexican, that market will stay very lively too, I think.
Well, I mentioned the cross disciplines that, that you practice each and every day, but that international market, obviously you serve. And so whether it be in southern Ottawa County, throughout the state of Missouri and well beyond, you know, we're helping people feed themselves throughout the world. And I thank you for your service and what you do each and every day for all of us. You make the world a better place. But, Kevin, your operation, very complex operation, and we just appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to Kevin Barman. He and his wife farm here in southern Ottawa County. We appreciate, Kevin, you being on the program. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEV, KRNW.
Northwest Missouri State University provides many campus jobs for students. Alumni Corey Schramm says what he remembers most about Northwest is when he proposed to his wife over the KXCV airwaves.
Both her and I worked at KXCV, and my senior year, her sophomore year, I actually proposed about a week before my graduation, and so that'll keep Northwest at the top of both our hearts for a long, long time.
Schramm currently is manager of sales operations at ITA Group in Des Moines, Iowa.
Underwriting support for All Things Northwest is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED business support team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz.
Hi, I'm Ben Nully. Every month, All Things Northwest focuses on one community throughout the listening area and recognizes their accomplishments. We shine this month's community spotlight on Albany, Missouri. I sat down with Albany City Administrator Derek Brown, who recently gave his State of the City address. One of the things he mentioned was how the town is working toward energy-efficient lighting.
We're actually just getting started on things of that nature. And energy efficiency kind of goes back as well to the facilities that we have, whether that's City Hall or our community center, and even into the more behind-the-scenes stuff at water treatment facilities and things of that nature. But one of the more out-in-front-of-everybody project that we're looking at or we're actually going to do here the first part of December is install some LED street lighting around our courthouse square. It's kind of a pilot project, so to speak. We're wanting to We feel like the light this type of light puts off is a more natural light. It's more directed towards the ground. Doesn't light the ambient air around so much. The real reason anybody would tell you would be for the energy savings and the maintenance savings that lights like this afford you.
Brown says LED lights advertise a 65% less electricity use to power them and last much longer.
Some even profess up to 10 years, and so we wouldn't obviously have the ongoing maintenance expense of replacing bulbs and things of that nature in your more conventional street lights. But we're going to focus that attention at this present time on our downtown square. We feel confident that it's going to be well received and eventually expand that into other parts of town.
There are a couple of other unique things about Albany in that it owns its own electric utility, wastewater, water, and natural gas plants. Brown says Albany doesn't produce its own power anymore, but belongs to a pool of cities in Missouri that procure contracts for energy.
One of the things that we're proud of that the pool has done is to become owners in several renewable projects, and the ability to say that a portion, at least, of our power comes from clean sources, and part of that is solar, wind, and as well as a couple of facilities that burn landfill gas, as well as there's one that shares a fuel source with an ethanol plant. It's called a cogeneration plant. So we feel like, we're not just strictly looking at fossil fuels for our power sources, but we are acting collectively within a pool of cities. And that are major players on the market collectively where we all individually may not be.
Brown says the way for small towns to be successful today is collaboration.
Probably the biggest way that we can collaborate, and we do collaborate, just the sheer knowledge of what works and what doesn't. You know, I receive calls, probably not near as much as I make calls to other towns to talk to my friends in city halls that maybe have already went through an issue that we're currently going through, and just what worked and what didn't work. Those relationships are invaluable to people in my position, and it's something that we'll continue to do to try to make Albany a good place to live and work, because we all have our own pride in our own community, and there are quality of life issues that nobody can rival a small town with, and it's our job to make those things, to bring the services and amenities as best we can to a town our size and still keep the quality of life intact that everybody's enjoyed and what's drawn people to live in a small community like ours.
That was Albany City Administrator Derek Brown on this month's Community Spotlight on All Things Northwest.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank Rod Barr and Kevin Barman for their insights on agricultural sciences education at Northwest Missouri State University and also farming in Nottoway County. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Jasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB-KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More on Facebook at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noley. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.